Hello, and thank you once again, everybody, for joining us today for another episode of Osage Language and Culture. I'm Tom Ashmore here with my co-host, Abby Mashunkashe, and today's episode is going to focus on the Osage language specifically, and we are privileged once again to get to talk to some language leaders here at the Osage Nation.
That's right, Tom. We're going to start with an interview with Osage Language Department Director Van Bighorse and teacher Selena Noir. We're going to hear about the work that they do here. Then I have a quick chat with the superintendent at Deposca Ankadapi, Patrick Martin.
Yeah, I'm excited for the audience to get to hear the students and their singing in Osage. And they do this specifically at Circle Time. It's a really special thing. And, you know, to get to hear their little voices and Wajaji Ia singing in Osage. Then after that, we're going to get another special privilege to hear one of our singers perform one of his songs, Mr. OJ Little Cook, to close everything out with. So we get to hear some of the younger generation along with some of the older generation. So I'm really excited to present you guys with this. So with that, let's get started.
Wajaji. The official language and culture podcast for the Osage Nation.
Wajaje Nikajika, Hoe Dahe Pashe. Hello, Osage people. Humpa de Dadli, Wajaje Majan, Omadi. It's a good day to be in the Osage. Humpa de Ietoa, Eonki Ankonda, Kalam, Ikoa, Anko Kikia Dungatkai. Today we're going to be talking about some interesting topics with our language director here, Van Bighorse. And language associate, language teacher, Selena Noir. So with no further ado, I'll let these guys introduce themselves. Let's start over here with Mr. Van Bighorse.
All right. My name is Van Bighorse. My Osage name is Wakando Kia. I'm part of the Chijo Washtaki clan. I'm the director of the language program. Been the director since 2017. And my capacity is to oversee the whole language department. You know, we have a site over in Fairfax. We have a site here in Pawhuska. And then we also have satellite classes throughout Osage County and also in Tulsa. So we have probably, I don't know, somewhere around 12 to 14 teachers. Yeah, and also we reach all the way out to California and different places, but we can talk about that in a few minutes. So,
Selena, tell us about all the many, many hats you wear here at the Language Department.
Okay, my name is Selena Noir. I work for the Osage Nation Language Department as a language teacher. And just for clarification, I'm a non-certified teacher, so that means I just teach community classes and work with the girls at WELA and Immersion. I also help Van with the administrative work for the language department, and I'm also the language and culture task force representative for the Osage Nation COVID task force.
You guys have some pretty big jobs here. How did it all start? Van, how did your language journey start?
Let's see. My language journey started when I was about 10 years old. Just like all of the families, all of our families have always been kind of involved in our culture and language all of our lives, you know. So when I was about 10 years old, I wanted my first Ponca Volume 1 album. So that's what I got for Christmas, was Ponca Volume 1. And I listened to it over and over. You know, you just kind of mimic what you hear, you know. As you grow up, you really don't know any words, per se, you know. But mine started when I was around 10 years old. I remember my grandfather was Selena's papa's drum warmer when he was the drum keeper back in 1963. So I remember as, you know, a little child being around, you know, the drum and the dance and all them things when I was a young man. Reason being is because my grandfather passed away in 63 and my uncles took over his position as a drum warmer. And my grandfather became the drum warmer in 1932, you know. So, but, you know, it's like all of us, we've all been involved in this since the beginning of time, you know, like you're Ben Meshunkashe, you know, Henry Reddigal, you know.
So really, I mean, just a lifelong
involvement. It's been a lifelong journey all my life. So I've always been interested in, started dancing. I always call myself a newcomer. Started dancing in 1970 when Uncle Sandy Cunningham, I think it was his last year to have the drum, and stayed with them almost the whole summer there, you know, and went with them around. And as they gathered all the groceries and everything, him, Uncle Sonny, and his mother, Lily Cunningham. So I've been around that side of the family all my life. That was my dad's aunt, Lily Cunningham.
Did your uncles and your grandfather, did you grow up hearing Osage in the house a lot?
And not a whole lot in our house, in our home. Not really. My grandfather really didn't talk a lot of Osage there, but I heard it growing up under the arbor. You know, I heard a bunch of them. And then when I was around Aunt Lily and those ladies, they were talking Osage all the time. So remember hearing Leroy Logan talk, you know, Osage down in Hominy, and Ed Reddigal talk, you know, and so different ones, you know. I heard him talk throughout the time, and always enjoyed hearing the cadence that our language has. It's a beautiful sound, you know, that it entails whenever you start speaking and learning the language. There's a rhythm to that language.
So your language upbringings, your initial interest came from song.
Yeah, pretty much from songs. Yeah. Yeah.
What about you, Selena?
My little language journey started when I was a baby, I would have to say, or maybe before I was born. You can definitely start to learn languages before you're born. So I don't know, when I was a baby, before I was born, I'm lucky enough that have my great-grandfather, his sister, my Aunt Maggie Iron, my Uncle Harry Reddigal Jr., and countless other relatives that I'm forgetting because I was a little baby, you know, a little girl. They were alive at the very, very first part of my life, all before I was 10 years old. And in my family, you know, we pray in Osage. We have dinner. We call everyone to the table in Osage. No one's sitting around just talking in Osage sentences or anything like that. But, you know, able to have prayers and then being active in Native American church makes it where you're in situations where you hear language more. So I would say from infancy, and then my real first language learning class was when I was 3 years old at Osage Nation Head Start. So I went to Osage Nation Head Start, and we learned Osage every single day. And then, so props to Osage Head Start. And, you know, now you think about that as expansion to immersion and to Wheela. And when I went to kindergarten, also huge shout out to Mrs. Elise Reed. She taught all of her kindergarten classes Osage. So I was able to be immersed from 3, 4, 5, and then into my 6th year every day with a little bit of Osage. So I have a good foundation of school words, which you'll learn later on if you come to class. You know, you need more words than that. But I had a good little foundation of school words. And then when I was about, and then at my home, you know, reinforcement, a little bit at home, words here and there, prayers, different special times. And then whenever, I think I was in the 5th grade, if I remember right, and that's when the Osage language program started. And when that started, me, my siblings, and a lot of the Osage youth from Pahuska all came to class religiously until we were probably, you think, man, 15, 16, mm-hmm. until yeah. you get to your years where you don't want to go to language class anymore. Then I took a small break for those years, and then I do believe, I know I've been going to class since I was pregnant with Pierce, so I'll just say about 8 years now. I think I'm pretty sure, I'm confident in saying 8 years, I've come to class almost every single week at the language department. And then in 2018, I was hired to work here for the language department. And before that, I was the language teacher at the immersion school. So I've been here since 2018.
So you've been thoroughly involved. I mean, basically your entire life.
Yeah.
And for some of those people out there that may not know, so the preservation of our language is it's not a new thing. It's not something that's just, you know, classes just started up a few years back. It's been around for quite some time. So can we get into some of that maybe? Do you know any of the history of how long we've been at this?
Or? I would say since probably around 1965, somewhere in there. There were pockets of Osages that was learning. I know that Harry Redigal Sr. Was one that put on classes, you know, and different ones, you know, would put on classes. I know there was probably classes over in Gray Horse at the time, you know. And but, yeah, there were pockets of Osage being taught to different ones. Really got kind of going in the 70s, I believe. I think Frances Holding and her sister taught classes, you know, in Tulsa. And so that was kind of where what I understand where Robert Bristow and Mogri and Smokey and all them, you know, they had, you know, their father, you know, they had classes, you know, not classes, but this little gatherings of their family and learning Osage, you know.
So yeah, that's wonderful.
Yeah, and language preservation is a huge, you know, something that we put a lot of emphasis on here at Osage Nation. Selena, can you speak to a little bit about why it is so important beyond just the obvious reasons, but there's really some specific reasons that Osage language preservation is important to us.
Yes, one of the very specific reasons that I like to talk about a lot at my orthography class or reading and writing class is that it's one of our pillars of our sovereignty. You have to have a language to be a sovereign nation. You have to have a unique culture. You have to have people and you have to have land. So language is one of the four pillars of our sovereignty and of every Indian tribe's sovereignty. So in my opinion, you know, orthography, I have a presentation I give called Orthography is Sovereignty. So we talk a little bit about how that cements a little bit firmer the sovereignty part of it, because we don't use English characters to write our words. We're purely Osage. We have a pure Osage orthography. We don't have to rely on English characters. And I'm right. Van might know. I believe there's only two other tribes that have actual orthography.
I believe you're right. I
believe it's the Cherokee Nation. They have a syllabus that's been around since Sequoia, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's where we do the individual symbols. A syllabus takes the syllables. So a sound combination, and then they make a symbol for that. And then the Crees. Correct, or the Crows, mm-hmm. Crees.
Yeah, I think it's the Crees.
I think it's the Crees, yes. And then they also have an orthography, and I believe theirs is like ours, where it's a symbol for one sound, but I'm not 100%, I can't say that for
fact. Well, and just to prove I was paying attention in class, Selena, Mogri mm-hmm. created ours, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Another lookout. Yeah. Yeah, he started it, and then it was brought here to the language program, and mm-hmm. there was other people that kind of put their thoughts in, but it was really, you know, it was his vision, you know? And, so I know he was, looking at a lot of different languages, even like, I think like Japanese or Chinese or one of them, the way they have their language, you know, it's kind of drawled out too, you know.
As far as putting together the symbols for orthography.
Exactly. We're having trouble with a lot of the I and the E, you know, and they were getting kind of twisted around. You know, the I represents the E sound and the E sound represents the E.
Mm-hmm.
And they're kind of having a little bit of trouble with that. And so I'm sure there gets more deeper into that. But hopefully.
Yeah. So hopefully there's been a huge push from all around. So for anybody out there that may not have, you know, even the slightest clue about the I's and the E's and the E's and the sh's and the j's and all of that.
Yeah.
What kind of programs do we have right now that people can get involved with?
We've got quite a few programs going on. So we have our regular community class schedule that begins in September and it lasts until April or May. Van will make the call on when it will end, April or May. You can go, we offer 19 community classes. We have multiple virtual options. We have Facebook options. We have in-person locations. We also have 2 learning apps that you can download onto your phones, tablets, or any other devices from the Play Store or the Apple Play Store. I don't know what the Apple one's called, but you can download all of the apps from there. And then on top of that, we've got a dictionary that's available on the osageculture.com.
Wow. So really a lot.
Yes.
You know. We try to accommodate everybody that we can, you know, to fit everybody's needs and schedules, you know. So we've been here long enough to know that people's schedules are, you know, they're important to them, you know, and, you know, but, you know, we have to keep in mind that language is important to us.
Right. And I know one that I've specifically been a part of is Sunny Goes to School. And that one's really good for not only adults, but mainly kids. And so that's really good, you know, getting the youth involved. And it's fun, you know, they can click on stuff and it says what it is and gives you the phrase. So that's one that I still use if I forget how to, you know, say something or, you know, just look at stuff.
Yeah, Sunny Boy is a very good immersive app where the kids can just get full-blown immersed into the game. That's one of the benefits of that one.
That's awesome. So osageculture.com is kind of the hub where anyone who's interested in learning more can go there and find out about classes and the apps and all of the different things.
It's very interactive, too. We've got a dictionary search on there for words and things like that. And you're able to go to, you know, a link where you can even pull off the old La Flèche dictionary that dates back to 1925 or 1930, somewhere in there. So, yeah.
Well, are you guys ready to get into our lightning round?
Sure.
Yeah.
Great. You want me to start it off, Tom?
Yeah, start it off, please.
All right. This is our lightning round. We're going to ask you both, and you just tell us what comes to your mind first. So, Selena, what's your favorite traditional Osage food?
My favorite traditional Osage food is pork steam fry. When hominy girls cook it. Maybe specific. I like hominy pork steam fry. Yes, very much.
So. What about you, Van?
I like chicken and dumplings.
Yeah.
Hard to beat.
Yep.
I'll go next.
Okay.
So, name an Osage elder, alive or passed on, who has been influential in your life. Selena.
I will start with my Uncle Harry Redigal Jr. I think he's an influential man for me when it comes to language. I know some of my older relatives and a lot of older Osages did not 100% agree with an orthography being created, which is a fun fact because it's an oral. We have an oral language, which is probably why most tribes don't have orthographies. But even though there may not have been the, you know, 100% support, still sees a need to be a teacher and to provide wisdom and to share his wisdom with the world. And that's what he chose to do instead of closing down and not sharing, you know. So I think that's awesome.
Can we have 2?
Thank you. Yes.
You got another one?
I've got another one, yeah. My grandfather is my real, real one. He's my real one every day. So my grandfather, Eddie Redigal Jr., I'm able to call him just any time, day or night. And we talk about language. We talk about culture. We talk about really cool stuff. We go through notes. We do research with each other. And he is able to give me insight that I'll never be able to have because of my age. So there's things that he's able to share with me, just like Van mentioned earlier, the cadence of our speech and how beautiful it is. My grandfather likes to tell me about how pretty it is when Osage women speak. So I've never been able to hear that other than on a recording. And it probably will never sound like the way, you know, my grandpa got to hear it. But that's really cool. So I really appreciate his insights that he gives me, his knowledge. He passes on his knowledge that his father passed on to him, to me. And there's not a better gift I don't think you can give your grandchildren.
Wow. That's beautiful. I also would consider my grandfather mine as well. Mm-hmm. So thank you, Selena. All right, Van, let's hear it.
All right. I got 2 myself, too. One being John Henry Meshunkashay. That was the very first committee I was ever put on, was his committee in 1971. And I helped him move his camp and all the different things, him and his mother. They were really good to me. Henrietta, And then I would say Ed Red Eagle Sr. was the other one. Kind of took me underneath his wing and taught me a lot of things, you know, culture, language, types of things.
All right. Our next question is, share a book recommendation about or surrounding the Osage culture. Van, you can go first on this
one. The book by John Joseph Matthews, The Book of the Osage. I think that's the name of it. It really hits a lot of Osage importance, facts, histories, Osage words. There's a lot that they talk about. It talks a little bit about the creation story and talks about little different words in there, talks about why the, you know, talks about the baby board, talks about how the gun, the rifle come about and different stories within that book. It's that's my recommendation, The Book of the Osage by John Joseph Matthews.
My book recommendation is Tixier's Travels Amongst the Osage. It's my favorite book about Osages, but it's not, it's a little glimpse into prehistoric, well, not prehistoric, like early historic Osage life. It's just a little glimpse in. And from what I was told from working with Dr. Hunter at the time when we read the book in the book club, that's how I found out about the book, was the Osage Book Club, which is a really, really cool thing that we have here at the Osage Nation. And when I was reading that book, and I was, it was told to me that that is one of the best, if not the best, firsthand account, because the man was an educated man, so he was able to accurately document everything that he saw. So I would recommend, if you want a little glimpse into the past, prehistoric Osage or early historic Osages, I would recommend that book. It's really, really, really got a lot of good information in it, a lot. And it should show everyone a little bit more about their culture than maybe what meets the eye today. Gives a little good insight. You can see some of the similarities, the parallels. I would recommend that book.
I definitely want to read it now.
Yeah, it's really good. It talks about, and actually the man goes on the buffalo hunt with, I believe it's Choteau's nephew. They go and they go on a whole buffalo hunt. So they make, you know, the start at one camp to get to the other camp and then to do the hunt. And then they come home. So you're able to hear firsthand accounts of how they distribute the meat to the different groups of people, which is very interesting about who gets first and who gets last and all of that. So it's really, really good.
That is. That sounds great. All right, let's get into our last question. You ready for this one?
Yeah.
What's your favorite thing about being Osage?
Favorite thing about being Osage? I just think that just being Osage is my favorite thing, you know? Something to be proud of, something to be, you know, there's so much. We got so much culture and language and things that we have, you know, within our communities here that, you know, not a better place to be, you know, especially like, you know, at our dance on a Friday night or Saturday night, I always say there's not a place on the planet that I'd rather be than there on a Saturday or Friday night, you know, not a better feeling.
Mm-hmm. I would have to agree.
Yeah.
Thank you. Selena.
I'll have to echo what Van says. I think just being Osage is just such a blessing. We do. We have a rich culture. One of my favorite parts about being Osage specifically, though, is being, you know, the community that we have. We have a really tight-knit community here. We all really support each other. We love each other. We care about each other. We're all resources for each other. I love raising my son here with all of my family that lives here. I love going to cook with my cook sisters and getting to laugh and visit and hang out with their kids and their spouses, and just really just nice to be part of one big family.
Yeah. Our sense of community is so strong amongst our people.
Mowgli's father had a little talking to his children and had a little, you know, translated out, and it says, "Wajaji ia daki spijo skonsta pizza. Adaki nakon piaha. Itwindi hatata dalitankai." And I'm saying, "Dekonse dali ajami." And what it's saying is, you all are wanting to know how to speak your Osage language, and you're wanting to hear each other talk. And in days to come, it's going to be good when you hear each other talk. And I think it's good as well.
Wow. That's really, really great.
Yeah. So I thought that was a pretty beautiful thing to hear, you know. So I thought that was something, you know. And they got to hear it from their father.
Wow. So, yeah. And that's another important figure in, you know, an elder that we still have with us is Mogri, who I definitely, you know, I've taken many classes and just look up to him. Anything he says, I like to hold on to. So thank you.
Yeah. Thank you for asking us. It's been an enjoyable time.
We just had a great conversation with the Osage Language Department, and now we're going to take a few moments to focus on the Osage Nation Immersion School, Deposka Enkodapi, which means our school. So I'm sitting here with the superintendent, Patrick Martin, and thank you for being here, Patrick.
Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here, Abby.
Yeah, so can you tell us a little bit about Deposka and what you guys do there?
Yes, we are a school, and I can say that with full confidence because we just got accredited by the state this spring, and they accredited us as a private school. So the Osage Nation School is what it's called officially, because every time I would say our name is Deposka Enkodapi, they would say, "What? Huh? How do you spell that?" So we have our officially Osage Nation School, and we have infants. We start with 6 week old infants and we go through fifth grade. And we added fifth grade this year and we hope to continue that progress and add a sixth grade next year. And the enrollment did go up this year from during COVID, it was way down. There were so many problems that we were down to 34 students. So that was pretty low, but we are up to 52 students now, and we expect to grow a little more next year.
That's fantastic. It's really fun visiting your school, which is something that we were able to do just the other day, and we got some recording of them singing some songs. What does that look like? Is that something you guys do weekly, or?
That is what we do. We call it circle time, and our language instructor is Wakonze Cameron Pratt, and he circles everybody up, wada wadon, and we sing songs, the children's songs like Wingsi Dompa Davri, and Colors, and simple things like that, and we're adding more songs and to make it Osage Wajaje Iye time, you know, where we're out there and we're just using the language. The teachers use language in the classroom, and Cameron uses it. He teaches the language every day. But we want to use more language, just increase our language. The immersion part is, you know, is we take that word out and we have a language school, you know, something that focuses on language and culture. And so these Friday morning gatherings are focused on language and culture. We do a circle dance, and we do drumming, singing, and we practice the language all together. And it's a nice community time for the kids.
Well, that's wonderful. Thank you for being here, Patrick. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to take a listen into some of these children singing for us.
Good. Well, thank you. Iwi day.
Wadawa wadon. Wadawa wadon.
Special time in the episode that we're joined with Mr. OJ Littlecook, and he's going to be telling us about a special type of song, a round dance song.
Round dance, from what I knowledge, it comes from the Taos Pueblo people. They have their ceremonies they have, they still do today, which is known as the Blue Lake. And one of them I think they have is around in September, in early fall. But it was shared through this powwow world, which is known today as round dance. And a lot of our tribes, we have a similar songs or similar beats that was known as soldier dance that we sing today. It has pretty much the same beat. But what we know as the round dance today, that's where it comes from, is the Taos Pueblo people shared a lot of songs. Then since the time, a lot of people over the generations have composed round dance songs. Round dance beat, if you heard from the hand game, is a little different from one another, if you can just pick out and hear the difference between the two.
So yeah, so it's unique in its own way, and
yes,
it's definitely like you said, the beat is more specific to what it is. You know, separates it from hand game versus the Alonska songs. Yes. Or
the if I may interrupt, do you like the Alonska songs? They're kind of more of a straight beat, I guess, if you will. Round dance, they kind of have a double type of a beat. If you will, and then the hand game kind of has that faster kind of a double beat. It's more of a faster pace, if you can hear the difference between each style of those songs.
Really important to know, to distinguish these songs from each different type. So let's listen to it. Thank you. Waymana.
Oh.
So that's it for today's episode. We'd like to thank all of our guests for taking the time to meet with us today. And of course, the listeners for tuning in. We really appreciate you, and we highly hope that you were able to take away some knowledge and that you will continue to educate yourselves and share our Wajaje culture and our ways, and continue to join us on these episodes and just be with us. I hope you enjoy them. Gashikadan iwe de Mingxie. We'll see you later. Waywana. Thank you.
This podcast is written and recorded at the Osage Nation Audio Room in Pawhuska, Oklahoma, and produced by KRSC FM on the Rogers State campus in Claremore, Oklahoma. The song you heard in our intro was provided by Indian House Records in Taos, New Mexico. Be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Waywina.